giving you another example of something that didn't work out at a smaller level, a company called sleep monitoring technology company called Zio, again, rushed into the, you know, fanfare, rushed into, we are launching the sleep monitoring, device. Now, they monitored sleep, alerted the consumers about, are they getting enough sleep or not? Alerting them enough sleep. They were not a medical device. Okay, there's a difference between, you know, some sort of like a Fitbit or something which measures number of steps and all of certain other parameters. It's not a medical device. So here they were a sleep monitoring technology, but consumers wanted something which helped them with sleep disorders. And Zio needed to communicate properly that we are not guiding you on sleep disorders or helping you on sleep disorders. We are simply monitoring your sleep. But that message was lost. That communication was lost. So consumers expected more out of Zio than it was delivering. It was simply doing sleep monitoring. Another thing, Zio was partnering with medical researchers on a lot of data analysis, which they were getting from their surveys and consumers. Now, that also confused consumers that, look, if they're partnering with all these medical practitioners, etc., then probably there is some sort of, you know, like sleep enhancement technique here, which wasn't the case. It was not addressing sleep disorders. Once again, it was simply a sleep monitoring technology. So didn't work, and eventually, you know, was not exactly a success. So once again, ideation rushed, an idea rushed without proper screening, testing, prototyping, developing, market testing, feedback, all of these stages which one has to go through before the commercialization happens, and then also post commercialization. Now, likewise, there are smaller examples of other bigger brands which are very successful on their own, but from time to time, they have experimented with something which they have thought the consumer would appeal to the consumer, but the consumer has either not understood it or they have not really wanted it and they have not been able to create a demand for it. So the supply has been useful. For example, Cheetos, which is the cheesy, snack, they came up with Cheetos lip balm. Now, a lot of they thought that we already have a loyal customer base. We have children who love us. So it would be fun, and they would like to buy our lip balm. We already have a captive consumer base. But consumers didn't really want a Cheetos lip balm. They didn't want a lip balm from Cheetos. Their market research, where it came from and where they felt there was this gap which required a Cheetos flavored lip balm, it didn't do well. People couldn't associate with it. They withdrew the product. Likewise, Pond's, the face cream, the established face cream. Pond's thought that, you know, we are already established. We have a brand. We have customer loyalty. There is a certain quality associated with us. Let's launch a toothpaste. It's an extension of our various offerings. So they launched a toothpaste, but once again, people didn't really take to it. They like Pond's, they like, you know, they're quite loyal to it, they're quite satisfied with it, but they think of Pond's and applying it to their face. The association and applying it to your teeth didn't really work for them. Pond's couldn't really put across, which is very important in terms of the, when you're entering a market which already has so many players, when you're entering a market where in addition to the core product that you offer, you are offering something additional. So there has to be a compelling reason of why you are offering this. They could not really or did not really effectively convey to the consumer, to the customers, why should one buy their toothpaste? How is their toothpaste different from a competitor's toothpaste or from the so many brands of toothpaste already available in the market? So customers couldn't really differentiate between Pond's toothpaste or any other toothpaste, you know. So from a need point of view, not really, you know, people didn't really want it. The association was more with something which they didn't, you know, that association didn't help them or make them feel comfortable when thinking about their dental hygiene. And then again, this was pulled back. So, you know, there are sometimes these little attempts which happen, don't work, and they come back. When I'm giving you examples of Theranos, then those are much larger, you know, attempts. From time to time, there are, you know, smaller innovations which happen, and a lot of them work, some don't work. So when we're talking about ideation, commercialization, all of these things have to be kept in mind along the whole life cycle of the, you know, development process. Customer insights are very important because I'm offering something new to the customer. I can probably create a demand before, you know, by motivating the customer. But if there is an existing demand and I'm responding to that, then, you know, it would be very effective if I took the customer and supplier suggestions, if I took staff suggestions at all levels, because then I could be at the right place, right time, offer the perfect answer, and also probably differentiate myself versus the competitor products, as in the case of Ponds. You know, there was no differentiation. Why should I go for a Ponds toothpaste just because I'm loyal to the Ponds face cream or Ponds soap or, you know, all of those face products? So screening, evaluation, your test markets, it's very important. So when I'm going to be giving you the example of Nintendo in another chapter, when Nintendo launched Mario Brothers, it's like phenomenally popular video game. Their initial launch in North America was just a small test market. And so, you know, your screening, evaluation, you know, feedback from there, what worked, what didn't work, these things are very important for you to filter out what is not working, make your product evolve. And if there are inconsistencies, failures, etc., learn from them. So various other elements of, you know, the business aspect of new product process involved. Is there really a demand? Are you creating a demand? Are you responding to a demand that you're seeing right now? There is a gap, like Uber was responding to a gap because there was a desperate gap and demand for, you know, getting your ride, a cab ride easily. So others are costing, the sales, bottom line. It may be a great idea, but, you know, having a pilot project, having a, you know, but what about the profitability? So, for example, there was this very, very popular show which was made by Netflix called Marco Polo. Now, Marco Polo was an extremely popular show. And about Marco Polo, the Venetian you know, traveler who traveled to Mongolia during the time of Kublai Khan. It was a, you know, fantastic show in terms of, you know, the production quality, the narration, everything, and it was there for two seasons. But despite a massive demand for season three, you know, like I was craving season three, they could not go ahead with it because it was so expensive to make. And at that point of time, when, you know, initially so many years ago, Netflix didn't have the kind of budgets that they have today. There were, you know, news reports that they're trying to do a tie-up with HBO, which has bigger budgets to be able to, you know, continue with filming and bring out a season three. But that never happened, unfortunately. So, you know, while the demand was there, the massive demand for season three, there was no cost justification. So, you know, the Netflix, just for subscribers and just for you know, retaining existing subscribers and getting new subscribers, could not justify from their profitability point of view. A failure analysis is extremely important when I'm giving you examples of you know, products that failed and were that failed. Some of them fail and are relaunched. Several of them like fail completely now, especially when it comes to, for example, industries like the automobile industry. Now, the automobile industry, so many times we hear about product recall, and that has to be reputationally, has to be one of the most disastrous things for the industry, because that means safety issues, that means life and death. So failure analysis, figuring out your flaws very important. I mean, I'm talking about automobile industry. We are aware of the controversy surrounding the Boeing aircraft, where there was some flaw in the design of a certain kind, aircraft that they had, where if you remember in recent years, there was an Air Asia flight, which completely, without for no fault, just plunged. And there was another one where it almost happened, but they managed to. So after actual disasters, whistleblowers started coming out with this design flaw, which was there. And, Boeing had to acknowledge some of it, controversies around it. And can you imagine the kind of hit that Boeing's reputation has taken since then? So all of these elements in terms of forget failure analysis, which is post-launch, ideally, it should not reach that point. There should be like safety tests, etc., prior, which are far more important than a lot of the other elements like branding, labeling, communication, all of those things. Test marketing is very important. As we were talking about, let's say a Zio, maybe if the test market had been done more holistically, or Theranos, instead of jumping whole hog and, blowing up hundreds of millions of dollars and, eventually sending the founders behind bars, possibly a more holistic test marketing would have made them realize that, it's not the time and it's not something which is feasible. Give up rather than sticking to it and staying stubborn about it. So you have commercialization, which becomes a very, very expensive stage, because that's when your marketing, packaging, rollout, sales, etc. comes up. And a lot of design, strategy, etc. goes there, just because you have the best product. If you don't have the perfect distribution strategy, if you don't have the ideal packaging, you have a great product, but it's packaged really badly. You have a great product, but inventory management is not seamless. Distributor network is not seamless. Your IT, enabled aspect of it is not working seamlessly. Then all of this is going to affect a good product and lead to, a complete waste of your investment. Speed is really important, because today it's competition comes in so quickly, a good idea and everyone wants to copy it, right? So there are some ideas where you can have patenting where, copy, people don't copy, but, there are a lot of ways by adding variations where people can get around patents. So unless you are protected by a patent where someone can't copy, it's very, very easy to come up with, copycats and similar products. So if you have an idea, which is a path-breaking idea, then the speed is very important. So when I'm saying speed, doesn't mean that you skip the steps, but you have to be really, really efficient and productive so that, someone else doesn't jump in with your idea before you with a similar thing, and then first mover advantage is completely lost. It just won't be the same thing, even if your product or service is superior to whoever moved in first. So speed, responsiveness becomes extremely important when you're talking about new product or service success. For review, you have to to review our discussion so far, the various stages, ideation to commercialization, the various elements of it, prototyping, screening, your government approvals, planning, inventory management, the IT, market research, demand supply analysis, all of these things holistically put together give you a good and successful product launch and eventual product life. Again, extremely important elements of your new product process that we have been discussing so far. So all the examples that we have discussed, somewhere or the other, there are these elements of, lack, which have been there, which have been the result of, which have resulted in the product or service flopping, whether it is bad timing, maybe Google Glass was too ahead of its time, maybe it was too expensive, maybe there was lack of communication, there are services, there was a company which came up with a service where in Belgium, there was a startup which was trying to connect students to internship programs, but there was no way to access the properly access the students, and they didn't really have that much of a demand as well. And of course, bottom line, if after everything your quality is bad, then despite a successful launch, you're going to flop in any case. So a lot goes into the whole management of a new product launch. A lot of analysis has to happen, and this has to be the top management has to be committed to it. You have to ensure that the teams involved are aware. There is training, there is skill. Lots and lots of studies and surveys show that the outperformers when it comes to customer service, when it comes to employees, a lot of them, 85%+, the outperformers say that they had the training that they needed. People who don't have the training are not typically among the outperformers. So how do you develop and innovate? These are some of the ideas. How you take your idea from ideation to commercialization. Maybe go back and research some of the examples I've given you to understand even in a more deeper manner, what are the various stages and what are the downfalls that you should not obstacles you should keep in mind. We will be delving into more elements of service design. Some of the challenges, basic challenges, are listed here in terms of blueprinting, quality aspects, innovations, types of new services. These you have to keep in mind when you're trying to lay out a design. It's very interesting, as I'll discuss with you in another chapter, how when McDonald's was founded, the founders of McDonald's, how simplistically they actually worked through their design blueprint for how to offer a quick meal, timely solution to a demand that was already there. So we will delve into it in a little more detail in the coming chapters. Thank you.